chicken fried, and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
That's my favorite part of the podcast.
I love it. I don't know if anyone else loves it as much as we do, but, you know, I hope that's not discouraging people. Happy Friday, everybody.
Yeah, happy Friday.
That lovely voice you hear is the one, the only, Sarah Tiana.
And that other husky voice that you hear is Jonathan Reed.
Hey, yes, I am a Jonathan.
Who is dressed up for Halloween today.
I got into it last minute. You know, we were talking about Halloween like a couple podcasts ago, briefly. And I thought maybe Conor McGregor. But then I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't have time, and I'm not even going to be... You know, I was in Canada for the weekend part of Halloween. It's a Tuesday now. Halloween's a Tuesday, which is like, eh,
not now.
Do?
This year.
Correct. Yeah.
They didn't.
Right. That's true.
They didn't move it to Tuesdays.
It's like every Tuesday now after the weekend. But I thought, well, I'm not going to do anything. And then I thought, like, well, let's see. I got black jeans. I got a black shirt. I got a black bandana. And I bought this hat for another thing that I'm doing with my buddy Kyle, and at a dollar store.
A black cowboy hat for $1.
For $1. But look at it. It's one of those things that's like
great.
Indestructible.
That's so perfect.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just like I guess I'm the bad guy in every Western film.
You're like Johnny Cash. You're all in black today.
Ooh, there you go.
You're
Johnny
like Johnny Cash. Cashless.
Yeah. I'm Johnny No Credit.
You're Johnny Broke.
Johnny Broke. I love it. And Sarah is dressed as the beautiful Sarah Tiana.
I'm like,
nailed it again, Sarah.
Literally. I am not a big fan of Halloween. I don't know if we've talked about this, but I like November 1st is my favorite day of the year because Halloween is over and candy's half price.
Yeah.
So I'm just ready for this day.
We talked a little bit about our favorite candy, a little bit some of our old favorite costumes, but I was going to ask you this one. We never got around to it. Like, you know, when you're like a teenager, especially for guys, Halloween, there's a little vandalism that goes on sometimes.
Yeah.
Have you ever done any of that kind of shenanigans? Any vandals?
When we trick-or-treated, like I said before, we had to drive to houses.
Oh, that's right.
And there was no Halloween parties. It really wasn't that big of a deal in my town.
So you didn't have like a neighborhood situation.
I didn't have a neighborhood where if somebody did that, anybody would notice.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm guessing you have.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, like, I guess where I'm from, I know where I'm from, we call it rolling someone's yard.
Yeah, rolling their yard.
Do you know the other term for this?
TPing.
Yeah, I didn't even know what that was.
In their yard.
I remember the first time telling me, like, yeah, dude, we used to TP yards.
Yeah.
I'm like, that sounds awesome. You just go build a TP in somebody's yard? Like a TP? Like, no, toilet paper. I'm like, oh.
Oh.
I never heard of that.
We call it rolling.
Yeah. But we did a lot of rolling yards. We would add stuff to it. We actually... this one guy named Greg Hudson, who was like, he thought he was a ninja.
Ninja?
Yeah, like he had all the ninja outfits. And, you know, we talked about ninjutsu briefly as a kid.
Oh, yeah.
But he'd go buy plastic forks and just stab them in the yard and call it forking the yard.
Like,
that's a little bit more expensive than toilet paper. I couldn't afford forking.
Forking is always a little bit more expensive, isn't
it? Yeah. So we did my fair share of rolling. I remember one
year. Did you always target one person's yard? Or did somebody, one person, or was it a different person every year?
We did at least the same guy every year, if not more. Brad Cease. I am sorry, Brad. You're not a bad guy.
Just one guy? Oh, man.
I mean, it was at least that yard, and sometimes more if we had more toilet paper.
How can you be a redheaded bully? I've never even heard of that.
Thanks to Brad Cease. I was not the lowest guy on the ladder there.
Except for O'Doyle Rule.
Yeah,
that was the only other red bully.
I would make fun of myself first, and that way when people got around to it, it was lame. I go, yeah, I already did that one, dummy. Yeah, think of something new.
Yeah.
So
you always did his yard.
Yeah. And only because he moved into the neighborhood a little late in life. So we had to haze him, you know?
Okay.
Like, he didn't grow
for
up
20
with
years.
Us. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He didn't grow.
Yeah, he's from Maryland. And he had a weird accent to us.
Isn't
so
it?
So, like, my name is, my best friend and neighbor back then, his name was Sean Settlemeyer.
Okay.
S-H-A-W-N. But he would pronounce it Sean.
He's
like, hey, Sean. And we have to beat him up for that.
That's
not how you say Sean, it's Sean.
Oh.
Yeah, and then we're going to toilet paper, roll your house.
I feel like moving, I've had so many friends that I know that moved around their whole life.
Yeah.
I was never the new. I was the new kid in like kindergarten.
Oh, and that's it.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So I mean, well, first grade technically.
Right.
You know, I didn't. But I mean, that is nothing.
You didn't have to go through.
Nobody noticed.
Yeah. Well, when you, and this, I feel like every time you go from like you know like elementary school to like middle school to high school, that's kind of like you're starting over, being new again.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna move your kids, maybe wait till that time where it's like you're going right into middle school or right into high school.
Right.
But poor Brad Sees didn't have a chance.
He didn't have a chance. not in your neighborhood, apparently.
No, but do you have any plans for the All Hallows Eve?
Well, I'm
besides this?
Flying tonight to New Orleans because I leave for the Impractical Jokers cruise tomorrow.
Oh, that's right.
Which I'm terrified about because, first of all, I've never flown on Halloween, so I don't know what the airport is going to be like.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know if I like them getting all into it at the airport.
Yeah, I'm like, I hope my pilot isn't wearing like...
Yeah.
Like the Unabomber suit. That would be like the worst outfit ever.
Yeah, some sort of terrorist outfit. Like a very bulky vest. You're like, no, I don't want that guy wearing that.
I
guarantee you Southwest will be doing something stupid.
I mean... They always.
That's all they do.
That's all they do.
And it's like every day is Halloween for those
did
people.
Did you see that they're going to have bands on the... Did you see that live music
thing? I got so angry when
I saw
that.
I got so mad.
I'm like, I will never fly... unless I have to. If I'm going to Nashville, that's it. Just because they're the hub.
Right.
But, like, that's annoying as hell. Could you imagine?
I don't even like it when there is music playing on the overhead when I'm walking onto the plane.
I don't like them singing happy birthday to people.
Uh-uh. Oh, no.
I don't like them trying to crack jokes in the announcements.
One time I had a pilot that was retiring. I know that Nate Bargatze has a bit about this, but my story was a little bit different because, like, I was so tired. It was like a long flight, and I was just like, all I want to do is sleep. Like, you know, where you're just like, okay, once I get to the plane, I can sleep.
Right.
And then they must have made like 18 billion announcements about this pilot. And I'm like, they're like, Captain Joe, Captain Joe. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck about Captain. I don't even know him.
Yeah.
Let's just get to where it says on the ticket, Captain Joe. And then they're just like, you know, they pass around. They go, we need you to sign the captain's log because it's very important.
No.
You've got to sign the captain's log. And I'm like, Captain, sign what are you talking
log?
About?
Was this William Shatner?
Yeah.
Started it ends captain's
up,
log.
It ends up being a yellow legal pad.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, mm-hmm. And people have written him letters, like long paragraphs of when I wanted to be a pilot or when I was little. Or
what airline was this? Was this Southwest?
No, this was like probably like Northwestern or something. Like back in, it was probably like Delta. I don't even know what.
It sounds like a Southwest move.
No, it wasn't Southwest because I don't really fly them that often because it was going back to Georgia. I remember that.
Uh-huh.
And then I wrote, hey, Captain Joe, let's not get ahead of ourselves. I'll thank your ass when we land.
Good. Oh, good.
And as it gets passed back, you can kind of hear people giggling because they're reading all
great.
The others.
Well, that's like a time release joke. It just keeps happening.
And then when we landed, we had to wait to pull into our gate because the firefighters were shooting water up into the air.
Oh, my.
Like an arch so that they had to... Yeah,
yeah
he had to drive the plane under it, and it was a whole thing.
Wow. Did you get a good look at Joe? Did you get to see this man?
He was older, you know, obviously like an older guy, like 60s, and I was like, well, at least we're going to get there on time, because I'm sure right about now, he wants to get the fuck off
work.
He wants
to take his nap.
You know that last day of school, you
got
to be itching. You're like, I got one more flight. Don't mess it up.
right. I got a cake waiting for me. What's the guy's name that landed the flight?
Captain Sully.
Sully.
Sully Sullenberger.
He thought he was the Sully before Sully, huh?
Jeez. I mean, they really, really leaned in on this. I've never had that experience again.
It's kind of like, have you seen Up in the Air with George Clooney?
Yeah.
Remember when he reached that $1 million club, and they came out and the captain sat next to him? Like, I would hate that. Like,
I would too.
Just give me the credit for the for the flight and the points.
Yeah, just always let me sit here. How about that?
How about double vodkas?
Yeah.
And just shut up. Go fly the plane.
I'm like halfway to $1 million.
Are you really good?
Yeah, I'm halfway.
On which one?
On Delta.
Delta, yeah.
And you know what?
That's a good, I like Delta.
So I'm almost diamond for the year, which is the biggest, you know, the best you can get. And apparently, like, you get Diamond, they just sent out this notice and they go, from now on, starting next year, in order to qualify for Diamond, it's not going to be $25,000 spent on flights. It's going to be $250,000. Yeah.
Oh.
Exactly.
What a crock.
I was like, who spends $250,000 a year?
No kidding. For Diamond?
Right.
I mean, that's, well, that's up there.
They better let me fly it for that much money.
Like, once I reach the Diamond status, I'm not going back.
I don't. That's the thing. It's like, I'm now I'm going to be very spoiled.
Because you've earned it.
I've earned it.
Yeah.
Why do I have to go back? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not there. I'm like, I do American mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And so I, because they get, you know, their hub is, it used to be U.S. Airways. And then U.S. Airways joined with American, so now it's just American. So my miles merged.
Oh, nice.
Which is nice. But I had to get rid of half of them when I got divorced.
Oh, God, I can't believe that.
Which is a bummer, but I've just recently got back up to platinum.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but that's not a diamond, so I'm jealous.
Well,
I still get upgraded. If there's an empty seat, I'm usually first on the list.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
I'm sure our listeners love us talking about how great our flight situation is. We're Airplanes. Normal people.
It does make you kind of snobby. I keep telling, my family always says that. And my boyfriend used to say that because I was like, one day I didn't have TSA pre-check.
Uh-huh.
And oh, I was like, ugh.
Got so mad.
I have to take my laptop out, my shoes off.
Yes.
And he's like, ooh, look at who we are. And now he has it. And the same thing happened to him. And yeah. He was like, ugh. I was like, see?
It's
when
a
you're
longer
used
line,
to it,
too. And it's a shorter line
yeah,
than pre-check,
I don't
which
even,
is nice. Pre-check is a short little line, plus you don't have to take the laptop or the shoes.
The line doesn't bother me.
Yeah,
what I like is that I just throw down my backpack, I take off my fanny pack, I keep my jacket on, I keep my scarf on, I just walk through, grab my stuff.
It's nice.
I literally get there 5 minutes before I can, like,
it is nice.
Boarding.
I remember once when I was traveling with my buddy Kyle, and I said, oh, just follow me. I get the pre-check. Don't worry about it. I got you.
You thought that.
Yeah. And then I got there, and that one time I did not get pre-check.
Oh.
And you're like, oh, yeah.
But you can't take somebody with you to pre-check.
No, well, that was two mistakes in one.
Yeah, I was going to say.
One, I thought I already had pre-check. I didn't even look at my ticket. I just assumed I had it again. And then two, I got denied. So luckily we didn't even get to Kyle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
It is a buzzkill. But I'm not flying anywhere for a couple. But this cruise you're doing, I'm jealous because I'd love to do that cruise. But you're worried.
I'm very worried that I'm going to die on the cruise.
Yeah.
So if this is my last podcast, I love you all.
Yeah.
I don't mean to be cryptic. Now I'm actually worried that might happen. No,
but not because of the ship sinking.
No, I'm worried because I'm going to be on the boat with Bert Kreischer and Tony Hinchcliffe and Ari Shaffir. Everybody that was doing Sober October,
mm-hmm.
and November 1st is the day that we leave.
Which
and
I'm calling November, Bender November.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to be doing.
And honestly, this week I was like, I really need to just take a little break because I've been steadily drinking for a couple of months. Like, not every day or anything, but just when I have a show.
Well, it's easy. It's right
there.
It's
free. Right there. It's free.
People
hand
it
to you.
It tastes good. I like to party.
Right. And I am taping my first Comedy Central special on December 9th.
Yeah!
Thank you.
No kidding.
Yeah.
What, hour? Half hour?
Half hour.
Half hour?
Mm-hmm. In New Orleans.
What are they calling them now? The
I
half
don't
hours?
I have no idea.
Okay. Because I did one a long time ago. It was just called Presents. Comedy Central Presents and then your name. That's awesome.
I don't know what they're called now, but
okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Don't matter. Get one.
Yeah, getting one finally.
That's good.
So I'm like, I just want to kind of not drink for a while, you know, clear up my skin, get to where I'm like a little glowing a little bit, and then I can celebrate after that because it'll be the holidays,
go.
And then now here I am going on
a cruise. That's all you're going to be doing probably. I mean, it's going to be hard to avoid that.
It's going to be hard to avoid it. I'm really nervous. I'm sure I'm going to end up having a great time.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to be a bummer, right? Like, I'm excited to see all my friends. I'm excited to hang out. I don't want to be like, no, not right now.
Like, you don't want to say no in front of all of them. No, not for me.
Tiana. Yeah, so we'll see.
Now, where's this cruise going? You said you're flying to New Orleans.
We leave from New Orleans. We go to Costa Maya, Mexico, and back. So it takes a day and a half each way to get there.
And
then we spend a day there. So it's 4 nights.
4 nights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
5 days.
How many times do you know your schedule of performing?
Just one show a night. I think one night I have two shows because I'm doing the comedy jam.
Okay.
Yeah. But just one show.
Yep.
That's it.
Okay,
pretty
cool.
Pretty easy. schedule.
Take pictures. I want to see this.
Yeah, I will.
I've been following those guys a little bit on the, you know, the Instagrams and the whatnots. And
we had so much fun with them in Nashville last time.
That's how I know it's going to be a drunk fest.
Sal and I just know that we're probably going to karaoke it up. I'm hoping.
I mean, didn't we do karaoke in Nashville till that place shut down at least?
Yeah.
Like two or three or something.
We closed karaoke.
We had our own little room.
Yeah, we had our own room. And
everyone was in there.
At one point, everybody left, and it was just me and Sal.
Really?
And we were just singing whatever came on next. Like, we weren't choosing songs.
It's like whatever.
We were just like, it was like karaoke roulette. Yeah. Just whatever you say, we're singing it.
Oh, so that's great, man. I've only done a couple cruises. I'm doing another one this year later on in next year, February.
Really?
It's just called the Country Music Cruise.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I'm so jealous of that.
Yeah, it's,
I would much rather be doing that.
It's a week long, and I only have to perform twice.
Unbelievable.
But they make you do other stuff, like host bingo.
Oh.
I'm doing that. And then I'm hosting, they always have like a costume party, so people bring costumes.
So you better bring a costume.
I'm wearing
it. Yeah, here you are, Johnny Cashless.
There it comes. Johnny Cashless. I love that. That's what, because there's a guy named Johnny Paycheck. There's a country music show. So this is, I'm Johnny Cashless. That's great. Yeah. Johnny Paycheck's song was Take Your Job and Shove It.
I want
my job back, please.
Yes, give it to me.
I ain't got no money. I'm on my knees. Oh, man. Well, we just had a blast hanging out in Phoenix.
That was so much fun at the All Things Comedy Festival.
All Things Comedy
sponsors the show, and we're on their network, and they put on a great festival. Everybody was really pleased with it.
Yeah.
We did our first live podcast at Copper Blues.
Yeah. By the way, we'll talk about this off air, but we have that's going to come out soon.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. I got to meet your friend, the wrestler friend.
Dolph Ziggler.
Thank you. he was really cool.
He's great. Yeah.
You know, I was happy to meet him.
Yeah. He's super fun. I'm wondering if he's going to win his match tonight. I'm like,
what was that tonight?
Or maybe it was yesterday.
To us, yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea, but
he's probably already won.
He's probably already won. That just reminded me to get the.
You told me he never wins.
He doesn't, but he was teasing it like he might.
Oh, that's good.
So maybe that's just like them amping it up, like to where.
And we did our live podcast, and we also did comedy.
You did stand up,
At the stand up live, and it was so fun. It was so crazy because the World Series was on. At the same time.
And it was game five, which was the highest scoring game in a long time.
How many innings did it go? Did it go like the regular amount, but it just kept scoring? I forgot. It seems like it went long. Like it was like 5 hours.
I can't remember if it went 9 or 10.
But the lead kept changing like every inning, it seemed like.
Yeah, it was so much fun. So we kept running back and forth from watching the show to the World Series. And there was also a Sunday Night Football game on.
Sunday Night Football game.
The Lions were playing the Steelers, and then that was a pretty good game, actually. But, I mean, the World Series was just too good.
So you had me and you up at Copper Blues on a stage. When I say stage, it's literally like above the bar.
It was super high up.
We're looking down on people.
Yeah, it looked like we were in a loft.
Yeah. And there were people watching us or the games.
Right. I think they were in there we were interrupting them watching the game. Yeah. But they listened to our show. We made 8 new fans, I think.
I think we did. Because I was proud of it. And I actually said, Sarah, I think maybe one of us should go up there and make an announcement. Like, if you're actually here to watch a game, we won't be mad if you leave now.
Well, there was a little kid in there, and I thought, they're probably here to see Dolph Ziggler because of the wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
And no, they left like way before.
Oh, is that right?
They left like 5 minutes into our stuff, so I was like, oh, well, clearly they weren't here for
the wrestling. I'm glad they turned the lights down because I couldn't really tell.
Yeah. We still had a great time.
Oh,
the
podcast
was awesome. And
it was funny just
so
watching Stephen Birdie Stevens stress out at the very end of that game and his stand-up. He was like all nervous about everything.
And by the way, I had to follow Stephen Brody Stevens and Jimmy Pardo, two crowd work comics.
Right.
When I was like, this is going to be a nightmare. Like, they're going to hate me.
I would have hated that spot.
Yeah, but it ended up being okay because I think by the time I got up there, they were like, does anybody just do the regular stuff?
Right.
You know?
Well, are we all going to be yelled at?
One person is super fun. Two people in a row, they were like, this is cool, right. But okay.
Is this like a theme?
Is this what happens?
Yeah.
So it ended up being good.
But I'm glad because I only got to watch a little bit of the end of your set because of the World Series. Uh-huh. All of us kept running in and watching like 2 seconds of a comic and then the rest of the World Series in and out. And I remember just walking in like in the last 30 seconds and I heard you, I think you ended with the word swallow.
It is probably the crowd went, dirtiest word.
I was like, yes!
Yeah, it's definitely the maybe the dirtiest word I use, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I hope we could do more of those.
That was really fun. I think we will. I think we'll definitely end up being able to eventually.
Yeah, I agree.
We're going to build this 8 people at a time and just slowly wear people down.
So your Falcons?
Yeah, do we play each other? We play each other on Sunday.
Is that what's coming?
Falcons-Panthers on Sunday.
I mean, we're barely hanging on.
Oh, my God. We are. My Falcons are. Well, we started 4-3 last year. Now we're 5-3. So, you know, I haven't completely given up hope.
Yeah.
But our team is not as good. They do not look as good as they did last year. That's for sure. And I think it's obviously, I think it's the play calling. I'm hoping that they get Matt Ryan to just start calling the plays because...
Is he not? You don't think that's what's happening?
No, it's Sarkisian, who used to be the offensive coordinator at USC.
Mm-hmm.
He got fired for drinking a lot.
Oh, that's not the guy who's sniffing coke in the video.
No, that's the Miami Dolphins guy. No, Sark, yeah.
So
and then he went to... yeah, he used to be the head coach of Washington, and I knew his defensive coordinator. Him and I were really good friends, so I was kind of excited about him going to the Falcons because I know that Dan Quinn knew them in Seattle because Dan Quinn, who's our head coach,
mm-hmm.
used to be the defensive coordinator of the Seahawks.
Okay.
When they went to the Super Bowls, and so I knew they all knew each other because they used to all hang out. So I was like, "Oh, this is good. Like they already know each other.
Yeah.
They're a team,
right?"
But it's just not working. I don't know.
Well, I hope we're playing next. It'll be a fun podcast when we get that. Should we make a little fun bet?
Yeah, I still owe you $5.
We'll have a chalkboard, a running thing here.
Okay.
You know, so I'm up 5. So
you're
I'll
five.
Go double or nothing on this.
I
next
think you
one.
Thought I was calling the landline, but my parents don't have a landline. You're like, who's going to answer? And I was like, well, I hope it's my mom because it's her phone.
And I still won.
Yeah, you still won.
Okay.
No, I was, you said the right thing, but it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. So I don't even know what the line is. I'm not even looking at it.
Okay,
so I'm just
going to
go
with
a gut instinct that you will win. Your team will win.
I bet the Falcons.
I'm just, okay.
Just,
well, then I gotta disagree
you
with
should,
you then.
Yes, you should bet your own
well,
team
isn't it more
and
fun
I bet mine.
Because this way, if you bet that the Panthers will win and the Falcons win, then
we're both winning. It's a win-win situation for
wins,
both of us.
You lose the money, but your team wins. So either way, there's a victory. You know what I'm saying? That's how I do it sometimes. But
yeah.
No, let's go with what you
ever,
think.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go Panthers.
Okay.
That was the only other option, right?
All right. So what is the bet? So
just I got $5. I got double.
Oh, we're gonna do money.
Oh, you want to? We should do like a stunt bet or something.
Yeah, I was gonna say like
okay.
I have to like you have to wear that cowboy outfit.
Oh no. Oh, okay. Well, I like this outfit actually.
No.
Kind of like it's the manliest I've looked in a while. You should have seen what I wore for the Panthers game I went to Thursday night when they played Philadelphia.
Oh, I saw that on Instagram.
It was I was a Pink Panther.
Yeah, you're
yeah. Pink tuxedo.
For breast cancer awareness.
Breast cancer awareness month.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Okay, if you lose the bet, then you have to wear a bulletproof vest on the airplane next time.
Oh, my God. A bulletproof vest? That's hilarious.
I don't
hilarious.
Even know where you could get one of those. You know the guys who do punch
No, my dad has one. I mean,
oh, yeah?
He used to be a cop. I actually wore one once when I was in high school
uh-huh.
during a football game. He's like, it was cold. It was a cold day anyway. He goes, here, put this on. It'll probably help.
Oh.
And everybody made fun of me like, what is that?
Yeah, well, maybe people can put, like, write in and give us some bets to
okay.
do. Because
I like that.
I don't know. I don't know what the bet should be, but...
Well,
I mean,
like,
we'll just say $5 right now, so maybe I'll win my $5 back and we'll be even.
Okay, so for now it's $5.
In the future.
We like fan interaction.
Bets.
We want to get them involved.
They do that in the Punch Drunk podcast.
I know.
They have that bag of bets, and if the Dodgers didn't go to the World Series, Tripoli was going to have to take the SATs.
Oh, hilarious. Take the SATs?
It's such a funny bet. Yeah.
Oh, I'd be scared. That would be scary now.
Yeah.
That
we were all
IQ
like,
test.
He's going to spell his name wrong and not even get the free 200 points.
That is a tough name.
So where are you going next?
Oh, I'm here for a while, and then I leave on the, like, my next gig is not till November 16. I'll be in Vancouver at Yuck Yucks.
Oh, fun.
Mm-hmm.
Vancouver is such a great town.
It is. I've not been in quite some time, but I do enjoy that city. It's kind of like the San Francisco of Canada.
Yeah, Vancouver in the fall will be awesome.
Yeah. It'll be cold, but it'll be fun. I think. Yeah, because it's no matter what, chilly. It's up there. But it'll be fun. All right, because I wanted to do this real quick.
Okay.
It's not a segment, but, you know, Cam Newton, he got in trouble.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, because he said he kind of laughed about the female reporter saying he never heard a woman talk about routes.
Do you want to hear it real quick to remind people?
No, I was just going to say, like, I heard it. I know. Okay. Everybody was very outraged. If you want to play it, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to
play
it just
for
to
our
give you a
remind
you of exactly how this went down, because I have a theory behind this.
Okay.
So let's listen. There might be a commercial first. I hope not.
I guarantee there's going to be.
Of course, there's an ad for UFC. There you go, Joe Rogan. Then I'll turn it back up once it gets back on there. Oh, you can't skip these ones on TMZ Sports.
Oh,
these ads.
No way.
I wonder how long this is going to take.
Probably
anyway.
A good 3-minute ad.
Cam Newton. This is not the first time he's been a little pouty. Done something stupid during a press conference. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He walked off at the Super Bowl. All right, let's see if this works now. All right, here we go.
I know you take a lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his route.
This thing is, I just touched it.
And getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like,
look at that face.
Funny. But fun is coming along, man.
He tried to recover.
This is a...
But, okay, Cam Newton.
He didn't get any laughs.
I know. Yeah. Well, I have a theory. Like, he does the dabbing thing a lot.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now the dabbing is, I just did
yeah,
it
Yeah, I know what
you.
It is.
Well, it's smoking weed.
Oh, okay.
Right?
I don't know.
Well,
that's
what dabbing is.
I
they
know
take a dab of that oil and they put it in.
Yeah,
you know,
I know it.
So it's a weed reference.
Okay.
He's been doing it for years, dabbing.
The symbol, not the...
Right. That's how you dab, though. Like, you want to get caught. You put your head down like that, and then you take the weed, and you can smoke it like on a desk or something.
Okay.
And that's the whole thing.
Oh.
No one's really talked about that, like how he's basically talking, you know, doing a weed slogan, a weed salute after every first down.
Yeah.
But no one's ever really mentioned that, but that's what it is. And I think he's high during this press conference.
You do?
Well, look, he started laughing. Like, he's just like, you ever been stoned? He's just like, eh. And he made that thing. He goes, I just think it's funny to hear female talk about
routes.
Yeah, obviously he thought he was just with his friends and you can say stupid shit like that. But
well, I feel like he should have doubled down and been like,
yeah, right.
I mean, you guys can't even drive. How do you even know what a route is?
Right.
You know, I mean, do you know north and south?
I was following the tweets on that and some other, I forgot who it was a female reporter, I think. So, like, yeah, well, never mind. We don't like it. Something about saying to him, well, screw you. You can't run routes anyway. And that's not what he does.
No.
She just proves his point.
Sometimes he does. But, yeah. I know. Shit.
He throws them to people running the routes.
The routes, hopefully. That's what he does. Hopefully.
Yeah, didn't he
it was a touchy subject. A lot of people were up in arms. I felt like... As a woman, that feels like that sometimes people just make you feel like you have to be on the side of women. And I was just like, I mean, I get it.
Yeah.
I would laugh too.
Right.
I mean, it is.
It wasn't even that big of a deal.
It isn't like, I thought he was like laughing as if like that's cool of you to, that's how I took it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he used the word funny.
Yeah.
And I thought. He was saying funny in the context of saying it's just cool to hear a woman talk like that about football.
Right.
That's how it seemed to me. He seemed like almost aroused by it to me. But everybody really took it the wrong way. And he lost Dan and yogurt. Like he doesn't
that's
get to
right.
do yogurt
that.
Commercials anymore.
Lost his damn yogurt.
Dak Prescott is now taking over for
is that. Right?
Yeah.
Dak Prescott.
I mean, yeah, he can't sell yogurt anymore.
Well, yeah, well, he's got other contracts that I'm sure are fine, but that is that's weird that that's a consequence.
It is.
He made one little thing, and now, you know, I don't think he should have lost that, but that's up to Dan.
I mean, we live in an uproar society right now.
Ugh.
I mean, people are outraged to be outraged.
That's right.
And I think people are confusing outrage with an opinion sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And just because you follow along with the outrage doesn't mean you're also outraged. You should always be questioning everything, no matter what side you're on.
I agree.
That's my theory.
Right. We should have music for that. I also want to, I mentioned this briefly to you just while we were hanging out in Phoenix, that I just did a gig in Nashville that didn't go so hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I've not bombed this way in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, ugh, it makes me so mad.
Oh, it's so infuriating.
You can't leave soon enough.
Right.
So our agents, mm-hmm. WME, I just got with them recently, and they have a Nashville side. Mm-hmm. And so I went out there and met all them, and one of them said, we should have you come and open at our, like, AIBA, I don't know what that stands for, mm-hmm. conference. It's like a lot of casino buyers all across the country come to this show. They put on a free show for them. They get to see the new music artists or other old-time art, like great artists that's been around for a while. And then they come upstairs for a free event where there's more music, free booze, and then I had to open for that. And there's no chairs. My intro was sort of like no one could really hear it. And I knew this was going to be a hell gig going into it, but I just said, all right, let's just, you know, I can't say no to my new people. So I just said, okay. And then as soon as I walked up there, I'm talking for maybe a minute, and like one lady said, we can't hear you.
Oh, great.
I was like, oh, a minute in.
So you can hear her say that.
Uh-huh. Well, she only said it because like she was like there was probably 200 people in this room, and the bar is in the back of the room. So everyone was
at the bar
with their backs towards me.
Great.
In line to get beer or free drinks. And there's maybe like 10 people in the front who are kind of listening.
So it's more like a family reunion for you, not necessarily.
Yeah, with their backs towards me, as usual, with the free booze. Yes. And
can't hear you.
And we're happy about this. can you step further away from us?
Bye. Yeah, okay.
So I go, oh, okay. And I turn around to the sound guy's like, oh, there's they can't, it's not work. And then another guy comes out with a microphone. And I go, how's this? And I go, at the same time, nope.
Uh-uh.
Two in a row. And it happened again.
Strike two.
Three in a row. At one point, just because now I'm like, I'm fighting for my life up here.
Yeah.
I had three mics in my hand with, which one is working? Is it this one or is it this one? And that's about 5 minutes of my
set.
That's
pretty fun to do in a comedy show. Just test the mic.
Oh,
that bit.
It was a nightmare. I mean, I got the people who were listening. You know how you just start playing to the ones that are?
Yeah,
and
of course.
Some of the shitty, a hell gig. So that part was okay.
And did you book any casinos?
Zero so far. Zero casinos so far. But you know.
That was the one time I did NACA, which is the showcase for colleges. I booked a zero.
Oh, boy.
A zero, which cost me. It costs you a lot of money.
To do it.
It costs money to showcase.
Oh, that was another thing. I didn't get paid
in.
For this.
Uh-huh.
This was me flying there on my own dime, get my own hotel room.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But I know. I'm glad you know that feeling with the NACA
it's
situation.
It's the worst feeling.
Yeah.
In the world.
Did you have to follow a band or anything like that?
No. When I did colleges, I usually did. I don't really like to do them anymore. It has to pay really well. Like a casino, you know?
A casino is,
just so our listeners know, casinos are great because they usually pay exactly what you would make in a weekend, but for one night.
Mm-hmm.
So you're only doing one night of work for the same weekend of pay. So instead of six shows, you're doing one.
Right. And most of the time, you don't have to do press. Because, you know, it's like a built-in
audience. Built-in, and they want the show to start on time, and they want you to get off stage.
They'd rather you do a short set.
Yeah, they want you to go shorter so that people get back out there and gamble.
And the hotel's in the same place.
Yeah.
You don't have to go outside if you don't want to.
You just walk downstairs. And there's nothing better than that.
No, I just did one. The Yuck Yucks in Edmonton, Canada is a casino situation. Mm-hmm. So that is the best.
The best.
Because you just like, a show starts at 7:30. I guess I'll open my hotel room door at 7:25. And then walk out and go down three flights and go straight to the show.
Oh, you were staying at the hotel?
Hotel
the last
within
time?
The casino.
Oh.
Yeah. You know, it's all like one thing.
I didn't stay at that one the last time. I stayed in Edmonton. You were in Edmonton.
Yeah, which one are you thinking?
I'm thinking Calgary.
Calgary. No, but the people who booked Calgary were there,
mm-hmm.
and they want to book me for that one. And I said, oh, great, because I love doing casinos where the hotel's in the same. And you go, oh, we don't.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
not
there's
us.
This, yeah, there's this down the road. But it's such a, you know, nice town that there's, like, It's a great little walk.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to that. And then Vancouver's coming up for me, too. So I'm doing a lot of Canada stuff.
So much Canada for you.
Oh, Canada.
They must love you up there. There's a bunch of rednecks in Canada.
Yeah, oh, tell me about
it. So many rednecks. Especially Calgary and Edmonton. Those are the most blue-collar of all the places.
Yeah, there was a guy in my crowd, young man, probably in his 20s. I was doing a little crowd work.
Yeah.
And this dude was wearing the Canadian tuxedo, which is denim,
yeah,
you know, jeans.
All denim.
All denim. And he had a mullet, like a real mullet, like not even like just
not
long hair pulled back, but like straight up mullet.
Mm-hmm.
Party in front.
Yeah.
I mean, business in front, party in the back.
Do you think those started because guys were like, well, I want to cut my own hair, but I can't reach the back?
You know what? Maybe. I wouldn't say no to that. I think in a weird way, it's like because, you know, a lot of these guys work out in the fields. And so when they're bending over, their necks get burnt, which
right,
is why they're
yeah,
called rednecks, as
right,
your mama told
as
us.
Your mom.
But if you got that hair covering it up,
uh-huh,
you know, it's sort of like a little sunblock back there. It's a little flat.
We got to get my mom to look that up for us.
So I think it was, you know, it just worked out that way. But this kid looked like that, right?
Wow.
And I was just talking to him, and he goes, yeah, I like your sneakers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He says sneakers.
Sneakers,
I don't
huh?
know anyone call them sneakers in forever.
Sneakers, eh?
I go, what are you wearing? He goes, I got boots.
Boots.
I go, well, I like boots, but that my job does not require me to wear boots. I am a stand-up
comedian.
No way.
Yeah, boots are men's high heels.
That's right. They are.
They really are. A lot of men wear
a lot of
cowboy boots.
A lot of
there's
a lot of short guys in country music.
Well, we should try to get booked for Stampede.
What is
because
that?
Because Stampede, oh, it's like
tell me again.
In Calgary, it's this. It's their biggest festival. It's like rodeos and it's mm-hmm. just all country music. It's like all cowboys.
No
kidding. Huge Stampede. It's just.
And do they do stand-up?
It's just drinking outside. No.
So we'd be performing outdoors?
I don't know, but maybe we could just
get our podcast
up there for like some sort of situation or host some events, you know?
WME, get on that. Let's make this happen.
I'm sure they're listening.
I'm the new client, man. You gotta check me out. Oh, not only did I bomb in Nashville, but I had to bring up the next act.
Oh, God.
Who was actually I like. This guy named Randy Houser.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I did this red carpet interviews at the ACAs one year, and it was at a casino in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up playing blackjack with this guy for like a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, oh, it's good to see him again. And then like I had to bring him up after bombing like that.
Did he host it? Like,
no,
what
no,
was
he
doing?
Was just the next act. So he was the first musical act. I'm the comedian.
Oh, okay.
I started the show as the artist, and then I've just handed it off to him. And there was another guy who had come up in between.
They should have just had you host it or something. And some, I don't know how they. Yeah,
I think it
would have
been better if there were actual chairs and if people would have said, "All right, listen, this." I don't. In that environment, it was doomed to fail.
Yeah.
Like it was not set up for me at all, but. Anyway, no casinos unless it's in Canada. I bombed so bad in Nashville, I could only do Canadian casinos. That's a bummer.
That is a real bummer. Oh,
so,
man.
All right, what else can we talk about? We both did San Francisco recently.
Yeah, we both did the Punchline.
No, I did Cobbs.
Oh, you did
you
Cobbs.
You did the Punchline.
Right. They're owned by the same company.
Is that right?
Yeah. Because Cobbs promoted my shows.
Did they really?
Yeah, because Michael Che was there and his were sold out. So they were like, there's tickets to Sarah's.
Yeah. Still want to see live comedy? Don't worry.
I sold so many cap bandanas up there. I don't think I've ever sold that many in a weekend. I literally sold probably.
That makes sense.
Like 200. I don't even know.
Wow.
A lot.
Lots of cat bandanas in San Francisco.
Do you want to? Do you have? Don't
we got
you have
some
like
segments
a?
Ready to
yeah,
roll,
you have
you
a rednecks everywhere or a.
I got a. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you options.
Okay.
And you can tell me what you feel like doing. I've got a two redneck stuff everywhere kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying stuff now because it's not just people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've got a member dim. Remember them?
Is it from Cannonball Run?
Nope. I switched it up on you, but I think you're gonna like it.
Which, well,
you can
I
tell me
like
which one you
want to
go
each.
First. All right. Well, then, let's start with, I'll start with the member dim.
Uh-huh.
And honestly, this is kind of why I'm dressed this way. I'm sort of dressed as this guy.
Oh, okay.
From when he was in Westerns back in the day, okay? But most people don't know him from Westerns back in the day. They know him from this other character. So I'm just going to read. I'm going to see if you can guess.
Oh, man. Okay, yeah. We know so
this?
Many names, so.
Well, his name is James Best.
Okay.
He was born Jewel Franklin Guy. But he changed his showbiz name as James Best, so that's how you know him.
Okay.
American film, television, character voice, stage actor, writer, director, all this stuff. One of the busiest actors in Hollywood back in the day. Began his career with Universal Studios.
Back in what day? Like, what's the
1950s. Oh. When he was a young man. But he got famous as an older guy.
That's when he got Best.
That's what he was. What he's best known as. And, okay, so he's from Kentucky. All right, I like this. Oh. We got a Southern man who's doing well in Hollywood. James Best. Powderly, Kentucky was where he's from, okay? And he's best known. I didn't do it on purpose, but he's done Andy Griffith Show. He's done, I mean, I could just tell you lots of stuff he's done. He's done tons of stuff. Look it up. But he's best known
look
as.
It up. Isn't that your
Because I feel
job?
Like it's going to take me forever to sit here and read this, and it's boring.
Yeah, no,
when
you
I
don't
read.
Want to, yeah.
I hate reading.
Just give me a couple of other IMDb.
Gotcha.
Like,
all right. He was in The Last Rites of Jeff Myrtlebank.
Come on. That
I
sounds like
God.
A movie that your mom would go and review for us. Like, yep. Some where we're like, well, I'm glad you're going to tell me the whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see that.
He was in a couple of episodes of The Twilight Zone back in the day.
Okay.
Remember that, the black and white one I'm talking
so
about?
So far, I have no idea.
I know. Who,
yeah.
He was in...
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh,
no.
You're so close.
Oh, you're, wait, no, so no. I know his name. I don't. You're saying what he's
you
best
known
as.
You would know his character's name from this popular sitcom from the late 80s, from the 80s, when I was a kid.
Ugh.
You and everyone knows this sitcom.
Black
I wouldn't even say
white
sitcom.
Guy.
I'd say it's more of an action fun show based in Kentucky, no doubt.
Action fun show based
Hazard,
in...
Hazard, Kentucky.
Oh.
Little family by the last name of Duke.
Okay.
Is it
yeah.
getting there? Duke's a Hazard.
Yes.
This guy played Sheriff Roscoe Pico Train.
Oh.
Remember that
really?
Sheriff?
Really? That
yeah.
was his name? James Best?
Yeah, that was his, that's what he went by.
Let me see his
business.
Picture.
Well,
how,
this
what
is,
he looked like when he was,
well,
is that
is
his young
he,
picture?
This is the one I'm dressed as now. This James Best. I just
holy,
gotta get, I just gotta get
so
a vest.
He's so handsome in that.
Yeah, right? He did a lot of westerns.
You gotta make sure you post that picture.
I will.
We're really bad at posting on our Instagram,
we,
by
know,
the way.
I know.
Yeah, me and John are not good at social media. That's why we do stuff like this.
Well,
because we're like, well, we'll just talk about it because we don't know how to post things.
You were probably too young for the original Dukes of Hazzard, yes? Or did it, this not something that you wanted to
I
watch?
Watched it. No, I watched it. I mean, yeah. I wasn't as addicted to it as everybody in my town was.
Right.
Because I didn't. I watched Hanna-Barbera every day when I came home. I watched the Flintstones and the Jetsons.
Yep.
And then that was also Andy Griffith and the Brady Bunch.
Right,
and
right.
then that would lead into 227 or... What? Who is that?
Jack A. 227. Yeah. Oh, I used to love that show.
227 was so good.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And then Good Times. I loved Good Times.
Good Times, one of my favorites.
Good Times.
In a time you need a friend.
Good Times.
In a time you need a friend.
Janet Jackson.
Can't help it. Oh, young
a
Janet
beautiful
Jackson.
Beautiful young Janet
Even
Jackson.
Even the girl who played the daughter, I forgot, was it Velma or whatever?
Uh-huh.
She was hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful family.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Well, to end this James Best, remember them, because I got to tell you what he's up to now.
Okay, yeah,
well,
please.
He's no longer with us.
Oh.
So that's what he's up to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a remember them?
Yeah, well,
we're really having to remember.
We're
going to
pour one out for James okay. Best on this Halloween, because I'm dressed like him for Halloween.
Okay.
He went on to do not just from Dukes of Hazzard, but he did In the Heat of the Night. I don't know if you remember that show,
mm-hmm.
But he died. Guess where he died? What city and state?
Kentucky or Duke or
Hickory.
Hazzard? Hickory?
He moved to Hickory later in life, and that's where he ended it.
In your hometown?
In my hometown.
That's where he was like, I can't go on.
I'm done.
Now that I've seen this,
yeah, right.
I toilet papered this guy's house and I'm done.
Right. He lived right next to Bradley C, so I didn't know that he had helped clean him up.
Yeah, he's probably... Poor old Bradley's
so
dad.
If you're looking for a place to die,
Hickory's
not bad. We got a good funeral
That's
home.
That's a good advertisement.
Yeah. It's like, you know, honestly, it's like it's a badge of honor if you think about it. He died like an elephant. You know how elephants, when they get old in age and they're just ready to die, they just wander away.
They just wander away.
They don't want to do it in front of the pack. So they just go somewhere where there's no one.
Is that?
Like Hickory, North Carolina. And I'll just lay my bones down here and be done with it. But I used to love Sheriff Roscoe Pico Train. I mean, he was one of the funniest ones on there. And I remember watching like a documentary on him and like how he came up with the character and all this stuff. Because he would always do this one move. He'd go, like, he could get mad at something. He'd go, kill, 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 like
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. Very animated.
Yeah.
Theatrical.
And he said he got that from, like, as a grandfather, it was fun to make his grandkids laugh. And he'd come up to, like, I'm going to get you. Oh. I'm going to get you. Cool. Like, he just turned that into something. And I go, that's
you
pretty.
Sound just like him. That's a good impression.
I'll walk around today since it's Halloween and do my best best.
All right, well, we'll wrap it up with a Rednecks Everywhere.
We'll
is that
do
okay?
Rednecks Everywhere. All right, I like it. Well, I'm going to do this one because this one kind of just happened.
Okay.
This is a great headline. And, you know, we like to showcase that there's rednecks things that happen everywhere. Not just in the South, but everywhere.
Everywhere.
And guess what happened? There was a rogue calf. When I say calf, I mean the bull calf.
A bull calf.
Yeah.
With horns.
Was captured, but it was on the loose in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, how, I would have loved to have been there.
Me too. There's video that
just
you can
find. Just to see people in Brooklyn going like, well.
It took them forever.
I guarantee they would have run into it on their iPhones.
Yeah.
Just walking around, not noticing nothing.
It was on its way to a slaughterhouse. And it
really?
Escaped from, I guess it was a truck, and it got loose, and it was running around in Brooklyn. And you know, if this had happened in the South, especially Texas,
oh.
it would have been over in 30 seconds.
Yeah. I wrestle it, and I get to keep it. It's mine.
Some kind of lasso. Like, hey, yeah. what you need? Like
finders
five of
keepers.
Them. Yeah, finders keepers. Right. Let's cut him up right here.
No
but
way.
No, they, he, so. He, I'll just read it. A road calf went on the lamb. Ha ha! In Brooklyn Tuesday.
Sometimes journalists, you
know. They're so funny.
They're adorable.
Breaking free from its captors and causing a rodeo-style ruckus in the heart of stroller mom turf. Oh, my God. Who? I want to find out who wrote this at the end. The cow escaped from a slaughterhouse on 4th Avenue near 16th Street and Park Slope and hoofed it to the Prospect Expressway and then the South. And then the South towards Prospect, blah, 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 blah. The New York Police Department's Emergency Services Units, God almighty, I hate this writer, cops, shot the bull with an air-powered tranquilizer pistol and corralled it to a horse trailer near the park's parade grounds around 1:30. As cops tried to wrangle the bold bovine.
Get
oh,
it.
My God.
Good.
I hate
somebody
this person
somebody looked
so
up
bad.
A thesaurus.
Mm-hmm. Like, what else can we call it besides
well,
a cow
Well, let's see.
And
I've
bull.
Never seen a cow in New York. Is it organic? Is it an organic bull running around?
Yeah, and it escaped, so it's bold.
It's obviously
two
bold.
Bees in a row are yeah. hilarious. Bold bovine. We know John Reeb's going to read it.
It's the only one.
Yeah, so as they tried to wrangle it, it slammed into a soccer goal, knocked over a female police officer. And she goes, he took me down when he crashed into the soccer net, the cop said, adding she wasn't injured, just my pride was hurt.
If there anything more Brooklyn than something getting tangled in a soccer net.
Right. This bull's horns just running around with a goal on his head.
Yeah.
It's the best goalie of all time. You could train a bull to be a goalie in a soccer match.
That'd be pretty dope.
Is it matches or games now? I always say match.
I don't know.
All right. Well, anyway, guess what happened? Guess how this story ends.
I'm guessing he's not the Brooklyn bovine.
No.
And he didn't get to live in someone's house.
That's correct. He did not get to live in someone's house, but he did get to live. There's a weird loophole or law that if a bull or cow escapes from a slaughterhouse, they like pardon it.
No
like
way.
It's a Thanksgiving turkey. Like they go, all right.
Well, you're free.
Yeah, good job.
Good job.
You get to move on. I guess maybe they're going to use him as a stud. But that'd be dumb because now every cow and bull is going to escape from now
yeah,
on.
Yeah, they know better now.
But if you could just tell the cows and the bulls this, like.
I'm sure you could get through to them, John. You have a way of speaking to the animals.
If you're listening to us right now, if you're like a farmer on the farm and you're maybe in the fields with your plow and you're listening to our podcast out loud, put it up to the cow's ear right now. Run.
Run,
get
cow.
Out of there, calf.
Run, cow.
They will let you live.
I mean, it was
you're
like.
You're going to die.
I guarantee people were like, this is like the running of the bulls in Spain, but there's just one bull, and we're all more terrified than we've ever been.
That would have been so funny.
It's like
during this whole thing, a bunch of guys with white shirts and red scarves come running out.
What do you think people in Brooklyn are more afraid of, a bull running wild or a peanut?
Oh, that's a good question.
I mean, what are you more allergic to?
Oh, man.
Like, if Mr. Peanut got wild and he was just
Mr.
running
peanut
around Brooklyn.
Riding the bull, eating peanuts.
Just the biggest nightmare. Well, really quick before we go, we were talking about cows and elephants, so I have to say RIP
oh, yes.
Ralphie May.
Yes.
And he would have loved that joke.
That's 100%
so screw
correct.
You
he would
if
have loved
you
that joke.
Are offended. He was really good man. Mm. He did a lot for me my whole life. My whole career. Mm-hmm. We grew up 60 miles apart. We had the same birthday. He's my brother, and I miss him very much.
I miss him, too. I only got to work with him a handful of times. We did an episode of Getting Dug with High,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of my fondest memories of him.
I mean,
because he was
he
good
enjoyed.
At getting high.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And, it took a lot. It took a lot to get him high.
And I don't really do it that much. So when I was on this thing, I mean, I regress. Like, I stopped talking.
Right.
And I just listen and laugh at other people.
I fall asleep.
Which was great for Ralphie.
Yeah, exactly, because he could talk forever.
My fondest memory of that, because Doug was sitting there, and he asked us a question. He didn't direct it to, hey, Ralphie, or hey, John. He just asked it.
Mm-hmm.
And we both answered him at the same time, and we talked over each other for a good minute and a half, 2 minutes, before we both realized that we were both talking over each other. And then Doug was just like, guys, like that. But he will be missed. I love me some Ralphie May. And
yeah, he has done a lot. He did a lot for the comedy community. He was always very generous, like so generous, beyond generous. He used to buy so many cat bandanas from us every Christmas just to donate to the animal shelter in Nashville where he lived.
Yeah.
And I think we can end this podcast by saying a phrase that he always said to me every time he saw me, which was, I love you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it.